Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's now 35 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings as we strive to be informative and challenging, ultimately hopeful and helpful. Question: what is a thoughtful follower of Christ in the United States of America at such a time as this supposed to think about a guy named Vladimir Putin, who runs the nation of Russia, sending his military into the otherwise separate nation of Syria?
Mr. President,
he's challenging your leadership.
Steve, I got to tell you, if you think that running your economy into the ground and having to send troops in order to prop up your only ally is leadership, then we've got a different definition of leadership.
President Obama responding, sounding kind of defensive, quite frankly, to a very aggressive and challenging interviewer on the 60 Minutes television series. That was from just last weekend. The question, of course, the assumption was that Vladimir Putin is challenging President Barack Obama's leadership in the world. Most people agree that that's the case. As a matter of fact, the Washington Post newspaper just about 24 hours ago editorialized and said that Vladimir Putin is now challenging our president and our country in what is described as a proxy war. The United States of America isn't there fighting it directly, nor is Russia fighting it directly, but rather they're fighting it on somebody else's behalf. Syria just happens to be the battleground. So why does all this stuff matter? We just heard from John Stone Street moments ago commenting on this issue as to whether or not Christians in the United States should focus on, quote unquote, spiritual things or if we should care about our culture and world affairs. Joining us to shed additional light on the matter, our great friend, Dr. David Aikman, a best-selling author and historian. He's on our newsline now. Dr. Aikman, welcome back to the program. So good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Austin, for having me on. This is a great topic.
It's a great topic, yes. I'm eager to hear what you have to say. It's awfully complex as well. Where do you begin?
Well, I think you start off with the fact that Christians need to be educated about the society, politics, and culture of the world, because many of them end up as missionaries there. And what happens in these different parts of the world is sooner or later going to affect the United States, sometimes in a very immediate way. And don't forget, the Apostle Paul was very proud of his Roman citizenship and his contacts with Roman law. He did not take for granted that privilege that he had. He was absolutely on top of it. And so we really need to keep our eyes. We don't have to become foreign affairs experts, but we do need to open our eyes to the major things that are happening. And what Putin is doing is a decisive new ingredient in political life, not just in the Middle East, but in the whole world.
Tell us about that new ingredient, as you describe it. This is, to me, a robust Russia, the likes of which we have not seen for most of my adult life. This kind of harkens back to the days of the communist Soviet Union, where that conglomerate was intent on taking over countries all over the place. But how is it that this is a new ingredient? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, Putin is sincere when he says he doesn't want to reconstruct the Soviet Union, and he doesn't necessarily want to have a new Russian empire. But in practice, what he is doing is he's putting in place the markers that will extend Russia's influence over the whole of the area that used to be the Soviet Union, and will extend its influence far beyond its borders in Eastern Europe and so forth, and actually put a chess piece in the Middle East. This is what Russia has been trying to do for decades. And the reason it's been able to do it is the United States has been so feckless and ineffectual and indecisive in what it does in the Arab countries of the Middle East, that the door has been wide open for Putin to come in. So he's just using his perfectly habitual KGB smarts to move the chess pieces into positions that are going to be very advantageous for Russia.
Mm-hmm. Dr. David Aikman, historian and best-selling author and a noted journalist, award-winning journalist. He's on our newsline here on the Faith Radio Network, speaking to us about the nation of Russia sending its military into the country of Syria. Dr. Aikman, break it down further for us. What is going on in Syria that leads another nation to send its military troops in? There's a division, there's a split in Syria itself, as I understand it. Can you help us understand that?
Well, yeah, of course, Syria has been in a de facto civil war for 3 years since the beginning of the Arab Spring. And a lot of people thought that Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, could be quickly dismissed because of mounting popular disapproval of him. But that didn't happen. In fact, he ran the country very efficiently. And what a lot of Christians in this country didn't understand, but it was very important to understand, is not everybody in Syria wanted to get rid of Assad. Why? Because he was the only guy who could protect the Syrian Christians against the Islamists. And so we were absolutely, I think the United States was quite foolish going on this crusade to get rid of Assad at all costs. You know, President Obama said, Assad must go. Well, must he go if something much worse than him comes up in his place? Is that what you want? I mean, it's been a disastrous misreading of the whole Syrian situation. Now, the Russians have had an alliance with Syria for years, going back to the Soviet period. They have a naval base at Tartus. They have trainers, intelligence people working with the Syrian military. And even though they are no longer communist, and Assad himself is not a communist, they both share the same secular worldview that believes a strong Syria supported by Russia is the best thing that can keep the Middle East stable and afloat. And Putin has done brilliantly in using his aircraft and his armed forces to prop up the Syrian regime precisely where they were weakest in facing the so-called moderate opposition supported by the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Aikman, you mentioned a few moments ago you do not believe that Vladimir Putin, who seems to be the leader of Russia for life at this point, I'm sure you could recite for us all the machinations of the legal structures of the Russian government that have allowed him to remain in place for so long. But that said, you mentioned a moment ago he doesn't seem to want to reconstitute or put back together the old Soviet Union. That may be. He certainly does, however, seem very intent on embarrassing the United States of America and the Western nations generally, and exerting his force, being the guy, as it were. Is that a fair, accurate assessment, would you say?
That is accurate. What he wants to establish is a strong Russia occupying the territorial space of the Soviet Union, and he wants to embarrass the United States. The Russians, you have to understand, have a collective chip on their shoulder about the West. They seem to think, or the nationalists like Putin seem to think, that the United States has had nothing better to do for the last 50 years than think about how to dismantle the Russian state. And because he has a win-no-win matrix view of the world, Putin believes that every slight win for Russia is a slight loss for the United States. And so he is doing his level best to stop the United States from propping up any people in the Mideast that Putin doesn't like, in particular Bashar Assad doesn't like. And he's trying to replace the United States, not just in alliance with Syria, which the U.S. never had, but he's trying to basically replace the United States as the chief ally of Iraq. Mm-hmm. So he's really shuffling the chess pieces around.
Dr. David Aikman, historian and author, he is on our guest line as we piece together what is and is not going on in the nation of Syria, in the Middle East, and with Russia now sending its military into that country. We'll continue with Dr. Aikman in just a moment. Stand by for more. Why should Christians, why should those of us who are seeking to follow Christ here in the otherwise safe and isolated, almighty nation of the United States of America, why should we care? Let's find out more from Dr. Aikman as we continue. 46 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. It's Tuesday. I'm Austin Hill. You hear little bits and pieces and shreds of information about Russia, in essence, seeking to take over the nation of Syria, or certainly appearing that way. Why does it matter to us here in the United States of America? Why should Christians care about this? This, by the way, was a very central focus of an extensive television interview with President Barack Obama, done by a very, I would say, very courageous journalist at the 60 Minutes television program at CBS Television News last weekend. Dr. David Aikman, historian and bestselling author and journalist. He's on our news line here at Faith Radio. Radio, commenting on the issue. Dr. Aikman, you mentioned a few moments ago that if for no other reason Christians in the United States of America should care about this upheaval around the world, Syria included, because we oftentimes send missionaries to these parts of the world. Why else? Why, if we're not intended to do any foreign mission work anytime soon, we don't know anybody who is. For the person who says this is irrelevant, it doesn't impact me. I know that it does, but how do you respond to that claim? It's just irrelevant to me.
Well, regimes that are unfriendly to the United States are also unfriendly to Christian freedom, and so the Christians who live in those areas being taken over by people hostile to the U.S. are running the risk of leading far more dangerous lives than they would have done. Basically, the United States has protected the free world since the end of World War II, often against strong oppressive forces like the Soviet Union. And without the U.S. protection, there is no security that free society and free Christian worship will be able to continue in areas controlled by these other forces. And so in Syria, we do have a proxy war. The Russians are, of course, protecting the regime of Bashar al-Assad. They claim they're fighting ISIS, which in a small way they're doing. But they want to show that the United States is no longer the number one guy, big power outside the Middle East, giving orders in the Middle East. I mean, Putin has completely taken over the role that would have been taken by a strong American president in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Aikman, you know as well as I do that a majority of American citizens give every indication that they are paying no attention to these kinds of issues. I don't even know that there is a critical mass of members of the United States Congress who, by definition, are supposed to hold the president accountable for his actions. I don't even think members of Congress care so much about our nation's influence abroad any longer. We are, in many ways, a people in the U.S. that are tired of fighting military battles. We don't want to hear about military conflict. We want our troops to come home. We want to focus on what we want to focus on, and this stuff just doesn't matter. And in the midst of that cultural environment, I'd like to think that I and you and other thoughtful Christians can be a bit more thoughtful than our culture on that. Give a word to pastors, if you would, who are maybe caught in the middle of all this kind of stuff. They hear what you're saying. They're saying, okay, this is important, but how in the world do I get anybody else to care in my church about these things? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yes, pastors should remind their congregations that the congregations vote. They elect leaders who decide what the policies are going to be of the United States at home and abroad. And what our policies abroad can affect not just the lives of fine Christians living overseas, but the future lives of citizens of the United States. If we have a world that is sliding into the precipice of anarchy and tyranny, and the United States is not doing anything about that, that is a very bad situation. So we're not saying pastors should encourage members of their congregations to vote always for an active foreign policy, but for a global worldview of the United States government that says, our role is to advance the borders of the kingdom of God if we can. Mm-hmm. And if that means sort of shoring up free countries and countries that are threatened by aggression, we should do that. And that's what we've done consistently and rather well most times since World War II.
Dr. Aikman, can the United States of America, if we care enough to try to make it happen, can the U.S. regain its influence in the world?
Yes, I think it can. I think if it has a leader who is conscious of the principles upon which this country was founded, the principles of most of its foreign policy throughout its history, if he understands American moral values and embraces them and uses the presidency as a bully pulpit for Americans to get back to integrity, honesty, freedom, and compassion, I think any leader who has that attitude can change the country and turn it around.
Do you think that kind of leader, a leader such as that, would garner support from the electorate in our country here in the midst of a presidential campaign cycle?
I do, because what we're seeing is, I mean, we know that Donald Trump is a populist. He has some very successful political activities. He's leading in the polls. But I mean, it is astonishing that somebody like Ben Carson, somebody who was a neurosurgeon, is a devout Christian, and is obviously an extremely intelligent man. It's astonishing that he has done so well. Mm-hmm. He is an outsider who is really embraced by a large number of independents. I think this is very positive.
We shall see what unfolds. Dr. David Aikman, historian and best-selling author here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program from the Faith Radio Network. A final question for you. What are the consequences, as you see it, if the United States of America, as it currently stands, I think these are current conditions, if the U.S. remains ambivalent and uncaring about these issues of foreign affairs and the machinations and the workings of foreign nations and such, if we are continued on this path, if we continue on this path of simply being ambivalent about these things and therefore our elected leaders just kind of flounder, what's the outcome of that in your estimation?
Believe me, it won't be just the Russians and Mr. Putin who are watching this flabby behavior. The Chinese and every other adversary force in the world is going to say, well, we can push the United States. They don't stand up and resist or push back. So let's take advantage of weakness in the White House and move ahead with our ambitions. I mean, you know, Putin is taking advantage of Russia's connections with China really to make the United States very vulnerable.
And indeed, it would seem as though we are. Dr. David Aikman, historian, author, on our newsline. Dr. Aikman, always a pleasure to hear from you, sir. Thanks for your time today. We look forward to speaking again very, very soon. It's now 57 past the hour. Tuesday morning is underway. Thank you for having been here. Find our programming content at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com, our network website. I'm back tomorrow morning, Wednesday. In the meantime, keep it right here. This is the Faith Radio Network. Have a great day. Let's see the ones in there. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.